Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Elvis Presley singing Merry Christmas, Baby. Now I'm living in. You know what I'm glad? All right, turn it on. You know what I'm going to talk about today? I'm not sure yet. I'm loaded to the gills with the stories of the day. But, you know, Christmas Eve is tomorrow night. The Muslims are on a rampage around the world. Here's Fox News now, which has moved to the center, of course, as you well know, under the new management. Fox News is what CNN was 5 years ago, 4 years ago. Here's the headline. Second France car attack on pedestrians in as many days interesting. Second France car attack? France car attack. That's an interesting use of words. Now, my headline would be another Muslim car attack on pedestrians in France, but they twisted it to second France car attack. Driver crashed his van into a crowd at Christmas market, stabbing himself several times. Police immediately said it's not a terrorist attack. In other words, the minute anything happens by a Muslim fanatic, it's not a terrorist attack. The police chiefs come running out with a subtext, not a terrorist attack, not a terrorist attack, not a terrorist attack. No, of course not. It's a lone wolf. It's a lone wolf. Osama bin Laden was a lone wolf. Attacker did not say God is great in Arabic. What did he say? God is not great in Arabic? So I don't want to talk about it. I really don't. I'll tell you, de Blasio. What can you say about him that hasn't been said? The new word, de Blasio, is now a noun. It's gone from being the name of a mayor to a verb, rather. It's gone from a noun to a verb. Along the lines of Feinstein is now a verb for deceitful, backstabbing phony. The word Feinstein has the same meaning as, you know, backstabbing phony. Cut her own country's throat. Play Merry Christmas again. I am not ready to do this show. Let's go him in the Savage Museum. All right, turn it off already. I'm all over the map. My head's everywhere. Maybe I have ADD at my age. I don't know. I probably had it as a kid. If I was a kid today, I wouldn't have stood a chance. I would have wound up a dentist playing the accordion and be dead by now. Nothing against dentistry, but the thing is this. With my personality and my brain, if I was a kid today, first grade medication, 5 different illnesses, 12 different medicines. So all my creativity would have been quelled and destroyed. And I wouldn't be on the radio. I wouldn't have written 30 books. I wouldn't have earned a PhD and 2 master's degrees. I wouldn't have written such great poetry. I wouldn't be painting. Nothing. I'd be nothing. I would have probably gone to dental school in Tijuana because I couldn't focus very well. I couldn't get into an American dental school. Probably would have gone to a dental school in Mexico, then come back and somehow finagled a license, opened a practice in Rego Park as an assistant dentist, and I would have died of heartbreak by 43. I would have been 295 pounds and dead of a heart attack. But because I was a little off the standard line of thinking and the way I was, I always followed my own, you know, New York Times insider, a multi-million-dollar shortfall causing drastic cuts. Vice Chairman Michael Golden, cousin of publisher Arthur Sulzberger Jr., enjoys a $2 million sinecure even as 100 journalists are let go. Journalists. Oh, that's a loaded word. Journalists at the New York Times. I love that one. But nevertheless, it's an interesting story, is that they're sucking the paper dry, the family. That's the article. There's the smiling Michael Golden. Vice Chairman of the New York Times company earns about $2 million a year. Picture this guy's ego. Picture the whole day. I look at these guys living here. I just imagine what their life is like at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, you know, openings with bad ties and poor suits from Robert Hall, whatever. Bad dental work, poor shoes. They all have, like, skinny, pretty wives. That's the funny part. They all have their skinny, pretty wives like museum wives. Their wives are as sterile as kitchens in Tiburon, California. Beautiful equipment, but they don't work. Gorgeous equipment, gorgeous appliances, but you can't turn them on. That's a good one, Robert, right? I finally hit the metaphor I was looking for. Give me a cymbal shot on that. Now, all these guys, they have, like, beautiful wives that don't work. That's a double. It's like the appliances in Great Neck, New York. Perfect kitchens that you can't turn them on. They're always doing takeout or going to restaurants because the women don't want to cook anymore. Enormous shortfall, as much as $50 million going into the store that must be closed. I mean, the draconian cost of 100 journalists. Somewhat spared the axe has been the Times business side, particularly Vice Chairman Michael Golden. His total comp hovers around $2 million, blah, blah, blah. What kind of car does he drive? Mr. Golden earned $1.979,796 in total comp for running the Human Resources and Communications Departments. Imagine what these people have done, sack the newspaper. What is this? What? It's not even a great story. It's not like I'm glad that the New York Times is going out of business. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. It's like it's an irrelevant newspaper. Everyone knows what it is. It's an arm of the White House. It's like the New York Magazine. It's like the New Yorker today. Sure, you have one or two good journalists left, mainly the journalists who wrote my profile. The rest aren't journalists. They're propagandists. They're really stenographers of the New York Times. $627,000 in salary, $763,000 in bonuses, $543,000 in stock, plus $46,200 from other types of comp. Probably has a driver, car, lives in a nice apartment. Wife is like an appliance that you can't turn on. And maybe a kid, could have a kid. I don't know, maybe he has a wife, maybe he has... You don't know anymore, my wife. The wife could be a boy. You don't know. I'm not saying him. I don't know. But today the word has no meaning. They introduced their husband in L.A. He's like, hey, I'm Bob, here's my husband. His name is Mike. I don't get that. Can you guys just say he's gay? I mean, what do you have to... My husband and wife. Why do you have to confuse words? It's not your husband. It's a guy you're living with. It's unbelievable to me. Can you imagine what this language would have done to your father or your grandfather? Guy comes into a store, his name is Bob, and he's like, I want you to meet my husband, Mac. No one understands this anymore. It's called the takeover of the language. It's the takeover by proxy. It's a Marxist trick. No, it was not taught by Saul Alinsky. Let's not give him credit for everything. Everyone says Saul Alinsky like he's really behind Obama. No one even knows who Alinsky is. He wrote a book called Fools for Radicals. Or was it Rules for Radicals? It was Fools for Radicals. Yeah, Fools for Radicals. The man behind Obama is not Saul Alinsky. It's Axelrod. Axelrod is the Rasputin of the Obama administration. No one knows that. Right, Robert? Am I the only one who knows who Axelrod is? Axelrod is the Rasputin of the Obama administration. Nobody understands this. He's the smartest of them all. He is the brain. He's Obama's brain. Obama golfs and reads a teleprompter and gives speeches. But Rasputin writes the whole thing. The whole thing is written by him and orchestrated by him. What's this with Rupert Murdoch? Rupert Murdoch bought the Wall Street Journal from Bancroft's. The journal was vulnerable because in the opinion of some Times, the Bancroft family no longer played an active manager. I don't get that. It's an opportunity to put Rupert. Why don't they just run a picture of the Koch brothers when they need a villain? Don't show a Muslim who just raped 30 women or threw them alive down a well. Always put the Koch brothers in like they're the worst people on the planet, you idiots. You wonder why your newspapers are going out of business? How can you explain that a guy like me, basically a one-man act, has thrived for 20 years in the radio business? The answer is because you guys have failed at the New York Times. Because there's no journalism anymore. Don't you understand it? We all see you for what you are, stenographers and propagandists. So when a guy like me gets up there and speaks right out of the heart, people will listen. I don't know if I want to take calls. I'm not ready. And I am going to be on the air Friday. Everyone's off. I'm on. They say, I got an email from the network. We would like you to do a best of Friday. I said, no, I want to be on the air Friday. Why? Well, why do you want to be? It's everyone's shopping. They go and return things on Friday. They're not going to listen. Yes, they are. They're bored out of their minds. How much can they take of family and sanctimoniousness? Thursday's the sanctimony day. The presents, the opening, the children, the pajamas, the Currier and Ives imagination, the attempt to be American when there is no America anymore. That's what happens Thursday. Then Friday, like the lemmings, go back to the department store to return gifts that no one wanted. So they're not going to listen to my show. Of course they are. They're going to be in the car, and I'm going to do a show. I can guarantee you there's going to be news. I had a nightmare last night that the Muslims are going to attack somewhere in the West on Thursday because it's Christmas. That's what they're going to do. That's what they do. They live to hurt. The radical Muslims live for one reason only. Maim, hurt, kill, burn. That's it. They haven't created an invention. Nothing. Given the world nothing. Gornish. Zero. 1,000 years of hatred. Supposed to treat them as equals. Right. So as you can see where I'm going today, I'm going to do a great show today. I'm going to do one of my great savage shows. And what I'm going to ask you now is something I asked you last week as I'm taking inventory. My dad had a little store, as I told you. I'll tell you a boring dad story. So at the end of every year, he would take inventory, which was always a day I loved. I kind of liked the idea that he had to take inventory in his little antique store. I didn't know what inventory was, but he gave me a pad and a pen. And he said, okay, we're going to take inventory today. I said, what's inventory? He said, I'm going to write down every piece that I have in here and how much it cost me. I said, what's the purpose of that? So I know what I spent and what I took in. All right. I was glad to hear he had actual business. Because I was like, it was ashamed he wasn't like a dentist or something, you know, like. Because a lot of guys I knew, like the fathers were doctors. Always, kids whose fathers were doctors always did better in school. How is that? They always had a better sense of self-esteem. The mothers always like dressed better. The doctor's wife always dressed better. They gave more money to like churches and synagogues. They were really upstanding members of the community then, the doctor. It's like, oh, there's a doctor. There's Dr. Blaustein. Wow. Turned out he molested a kid in his chair. Oh, that's what happened. You know. Not all doctors, I'm saying, but I had a friend who was molested by a dentist. I know you don't know what goes on in the world. He came home. He messed this kid up. He's a nice guy. I can't mention his name. It really happened. If I ever told you how many kids I knew were molested and they buried it in those days because nobody wanted to know the rabbi did it. No one wanted to know the dentist did it. Nobody wanted to know that. So the kid came home and said, Mommy, Dr. Goldberg touched me. The mother says, don't be crazy. He wouldn't do that. Now, think about this when you're 8 years old. Kid says, Mommy, no, Mr. Goldberg touched me. Don't say a thing like that. You're crazy, Marty. The Dr. Goldberg wouldn't touch you there. So the kid went crazy. Because he's telling the mother what happened to him, and the mother doesn't believe him. She believes instead Dr. Goldstein. So he went nuts. Great kid. I loved him. He was one of my best friends, but nuts. Another one, I think the rabbi did him. I'm not sure. Forget that one. But he went bananas, wound up writing obituaries for a Jewish newspaper. I mean, one after the other, it was like a trail of tears in my day. He said, oh, things didn't happen. It was like, everyone says, the good old day. What good old days? When were they? Where were they? I missed them. What good old days? When kids walked around with black leather jackets and bicycle chains and knives in my neighborhood? Those were the good old days? There were no good old days. When were the good old days? When the turn of the century? Which century? I was here. I must have missed that century. Let's go back to the Scorsese movie, The Gangs in New York. What, those were the good old days? Okay, no, you don't mean that. Well, when? When were the good old days? I don't know when the good old days were. I never had them. So here we are. We're living now. It's the best of times. It's the worst of times. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Listen, Savage is on a roll. He gave up politics. He's talking about himself. He's going to do his family stuff. Everyone says, a lot of people say, I don't like your politics, but I love your show. Well, what do you like about my show? I like your family stories. How many stories can I tell you about my family? So I'm going to do that right now. So I'm working on my journals from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, right? And I told you that I'm going to do a book on it one, probably this year, self-published, whatever, limited edition. So I got a box of pictures. I just opened them because, like, I don't have family around the holidays. Everyone's somewhere else. Tonight's the eighth night of Hanukkah. I'm lighting the eighth candle alone with the dog in a dark house on a hill with a glass of scotch. It's fine. I don't care. What do I need relatives for to pick on me and ask me for money? What do I need it for? Christmas tomorrow. Oh, everyone's happy. Christmas. Not me. I'm alone. Dog again. The restaurants will be closed. I won't know where to go. Get takeout, like a meatloaf, Italian meatloaf takeout, and watch reruns of The Sopranos and make believe. So I got the pictures out. It's like I lived through my mind anyway. So I'm going to go through family pictures now, do something never before attempted in the history of talk radio. I'm going to pull out pictures from this box, unscripted, and I'm going to rap on the pictures, the family pictures. First one, black and white, dad, circa 1950s, Catskill Mountains, in short, looks like Robert De Niro, bathing shorts in those days, like looks like tapa cloth, smiling, saying, oh, nice picture. But you know what I remember is I wrote a story called Boy in the River. In my book from last year, Train Tracks, Family Stories. And you say, like, oh, the good old days. So let me tell you the good old days. He's in the river smiling. But I wrote Boy in the River. What's Boy in the River about? He scared me to death in the river. It was a never-sink river, fast-flowing, went to a waterfall. in South Fallsburg, New York. The thing went over a waterfall. I was afraid of it as a little kid, that I'd somehow get caught in the current, get swept over the waterfall and die. I'm not an Indian. I have no Mohawk in my blood, where they throw a kid over a waterfall to teach him to be tough. So my father put me in an inner tube. I don't know. I was 3, 4. How do I know? And he said, I'm going to push you over the waterfall. I didn't understand which way current ran. And he pushed me against the current. I thought he was pushing me with the current to go over the waterfall. So he pushed me upriver, and I would start to cry. And he liked that I cried. He got a kick out of it. That's very nice. Very nice story looking back. Thanks, Dad. Hope you're enjoying heaven. I'm not trying to expose anything about it. I'm just saying. Now, either it made me tougher, or I have issues with intimacy and trust, for sure. Absolutely. I trust nobody on earth. Everyone is my father pushing me upstream. Everyone that I approach is about to push me over a waterfall. Over a waterfall. No, it's amazing how I've survived when you consider all the things that were done. You know, like crap like that? Are you kidding? I never did that to my kids. I made a decision as a result of that upbringing that I would never do that to my children. I don't know if I succeeded. They probably hate me anyway. What do I know? No matter what you do, it works out the wrong way with kids. You got to understand that. No one likes you. You do the right thing, they say it's the wrong thing. You try to help them too much, you're meddling. Try to give them a gift, I don't need it. Then if you're the parent who gives them nothing, they hate you for not giving you anything. How stingy is cheap. So you get the other one, I don't want it. What are you trying to buy my love? Can't buy me love, they sing a Beatles song. So you can't win. That's the beauty of life. Once you understand that, life's easy. Hey, a brother in a wheelchair, very funny. God cursed him. God didn't give this kid a chance, Jerome. I do my whole show every day for him. Because he never had a chance to do anything. So I've said you 1,000 times, I've told you this. How do I still do this with such energy? My heart has... I have 2 hearts, that's how. I have 2 hearts in my body. One for Michael, one for Jerome. So when I come back, I'll continue this little rant on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
We have breaking news on the Savage Nation. There is no breaking news. The breaking news is I'm just going to pull pictures out of the family picture box and rap on them. Of course there's news. I'm sick of it. Aren't you sick of it around the holidays? How much can you take of it? Robert's saying yes. Everyone feels the same way. You know, a lot of you guys are fanatics. It's like sucking air into a tooth that has a hole in it. You like the headache you get from it. You keep doing it over. Ooh, what did Obama do now? Ooh, he did that? Wow. What's Sharpton do now? How did he curse the human race? Ooh. The IRS did what? Ooh. I'm tired of sucking air into my, you know, I need a filling. I don't need air in it. On the web in Florida, Pete has a complaint. Pete, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I've been a longtime fan and a listener to your show, but it just seems that more and more you're becoming more and more cynical and hateful of everything and everyone. You never have anything good to say about anything.
Well, that's true, especially about you. Absolutely true about you as well. Thanks for the call. So I'm going to go back to memories of the good old days that never were. If you'd like to listen to one of the Connie Barkers in the conservative side, go ahead. You can listen to the Connie Barkers all day long, who give you the you know, everything's good, everything's wonderful, vote Republican. Come on. That's not my style. You know, if you don't like the show, I can't help it. I mean, I hope you do. After all, it's a program. It's a show. So I went through the father, brother in a wheelchair. Poor Jerome. Dirt lot in the Bronx, filthy. Everyone threw garbage in the streets there. Everyone says, oh, when the white people lived there, it was clean. It wasn't. The sand lot was dirty. It was littered. I'm looking at it right now. I have evidence of it. Here is a picture across from 829 Longfellow Avenue. It has to be 1945, 6. It's disgusting. It's full of litter. There's a car even. I can see the ear of the car. It looks like Al Capone was in the neighborhood. There's a carriage with, like, underwear hanging from it. There's the women sitting outside on the curb in the chairs watching the children. And in the lot across the street, it's filthy, dirty. Everyone threw garbage in the street. Tires. There's lawn. It looks like Chinatown now. I didn't know that. You know why I like Chinatown in San Francisco? It must remind me of my childhood. Everywhere you turn, it's like underwear hanging out of a window. People think how quaint that is. So they don't have dryers and washing machines. They wash their clothes in the sink and they hang it in the window because they're poor. So I'm looking at this. They did the same thing on the fire escapes. They have laundry hanging on. So you say, where's the good old days? It was I didn't know it was poverty. Kids don't know poverty. If you got somebody who gives you food, washes you once in a while, sends you to school, you're happy. You have friends to run around with. Okay, now we move up. Now we move up. There I am smoking a Galoisie. I must have just come back from Europe. It's at a catering hall. Oh, my mother was good looking. God, wow. I thought I was with a date. That's my mother. Jeez. She was young, good looking. That's where I get my looks from. That is my mother. I can't believe it. I thought it was like a girl I was dating. No, she looked young. So I'm like in a Brooks Brothers suit, cigarette in my left hand, holding it like a Frenchman, like in a very like faggy way. I can't explain it. I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. It wasn't like between my two fingers. It was like held between my thumb and my first finger and hanging down like a Mr. Cool. I just came back from Paris. The hipster is back. Hair over my left eye. Tight, thin suit, Brooks Brothers. Perfect Windsor knot. Miserable as can be inside. Horrible. There's Dad getting into the old 55 Caddy green. Everything was green in those days, except my life was black and white. He was wearing a car coat. In those days, I had a thing called a car coat. As kids, I didn't know what a car coat was. I tried to wear colorful clothing, and he thought I was like, all my friends were gay because we had colorful clothing. Everything they wore was gray. So if my friends and I put on like beautiful, colorful clothing, hey, what are you wearing that garbage for? So, then other guys like in his generation weren't exactly like that fanatic on the issue. They're like, yeah, they're just student clothes. Leave them alone. Student clothes. They're wearing student clothes. Four-door, I always wanted a two-door. I know I couldn't get a coupe. I was always embarrassed that he had a four-door, but he wouldn't get a two-door because he needed to use the car for delivery. For deliveries. I was always embarrassed that he used the family car for deliveries, but it had to do double. It had to do double work. God bless him. Worked hard. Snow days, not a dime came into the family. It was no welfare. No one would take it anyway. They'd cut their throats. They wouldn't cut. Okay, here's another picture. Dad in front of a microphone, drunk, singing in the Catskill Mountains. Guess he had a little bit of the gene in him. Okay. Next picture, can't talk about it. People I don't talk to anymore. Next picture, there's Mom and Dad with a dog. The dog had bit me down to the shin. Next picture. See, the good old days. Uncle, there's the uncle I love with his wife. Can't mention his name. A miserable, horrible man to me. Horrible. They were nice to me till I became a teenager. Then I became a threat. And like the guy with the like the horns, the buck, right away as a threat, they started picking on me. The uncle, the father's brother, they ganged up on me. Forget him. There's the other uncle. World War II, airplane mechanic, Britain. Can't mention his name. Love it. I like this uncle. So here's an uncle's story. I hope the family doesn't listen. You know what? I could get even with him. I hope you do listen, because now I'll finally hear from you. All the relatives don't listen to me. Now I'll hear from them. How dare you say that about my dead father? I'll tell you a story about this uncle. I'm not mentioning his name, so it's not your father. But he was shipped off to England. He was an airplane mechanic in England. U.S. Air Force, whatever. Army Air Force. And he left behind his young wife, who cried to my grandmother. I heard the story years later. And my grandmother was European. She said, Betty, what are you crying about? Don't worry, he'll be back. It's not made of soap. Now, I thought that was a very funny statement from the grandmother. Robert, do you get that, or is that too mature for you? What, it's not made of soap? You don't get that? It's not made of soap. Okay, we'll let that go. It's a family show. Here I am years later in a tuxedo looking like an impresario at a catering hall. But I thought I was the king of the next one. Here's a New Year's Eve party with balloons. I was good looking, man. What happened to me? I look like an opera star here. Thing is, I couldn't sing. Next picture. I don't think people are interested in this. I think they're turning it off. They want to hear me blasting Obama. I had a hipster beard in the 80s. All the young guys have these huge, ugly beards now. I'm offended by them. I look back at pictures of myself in the 80s. I had this huge, ugly beard, like an Amish beard, hairy. It gives me creepy. I have like a nice like beard and mustache, a goatee. It's like neat. I trim it. I don't like beards where like sponge cake gets caught. And it reminds me of like old rabbis from Poland. Why do all of these young guys now have these disgusting monster beards? What are they doing? Young guys like brand new Porsches, huge Mercedes, they make $2 million a year, and they have these ugly, disgusting beards. They try to look like hipsters, like they're poor in L. I don't get that part of it. But I thought I'd post a picture of me in 82. Full beard, full mustache, ugly. I don't know what, I liked it then. Why are young guys growing big beards now? What's that about? They want to show that they're like anti-establishment? They're not corporate. I get it. You can't have such a beard in corporate structure. So if you grow a beard like that, it means that you got more money than the average corporate guy and you're not corporate. Okay, I get it. Is that it, Robert? Yeah, you're not corporate. You have a beard. Okay. I wonder who their beards are. That's what I really like to know. That's the story that has to be told. The guys with the big beards, who their real beards are. That's the story. We're moving along. There's my stoic grandmother, looked like an American Indian. I loved her. She never spoke a word of English in the house. She spoke Russian. That's all. And she never spoke a word of English, but she understood me, and I dream in Russian to this day. I can't speak the language. You know that I tried to learn Russian 20 years ago? I thought it would be useful in the future. Boy, did I guess right. It wasn't very useful in the future. I'm glad I stuck with English. I took it up for like a month. I couldn't get on top of that alphabet. How did my grandmother speak this language? But anyway, she spoke it, and she only spoke it in the house, only Russian. Not a word of English. She spoke to me in Russian, held me. So sweet. But she always looked like an American Indian to me. Very hair back, gray hair back, stoic, straight up. She looked like a Sioux Indian. I must have Indian blood. Oh, here's the other grandmother. Worked hard. Now, you don't know this part about me. Now, this is a sad part of the story. Died young, 50s, diabetes, heart attack. This woman, if I could tell that side of the story, how do I do it without embarrassing myself? She was a gorgeous 18-year-old. An old guy married her, whose wife died, had children with her. He was one of the wealthiest men of his time in an area. He died. The children from the first marriage disinherited her. She wound up with nothing, had to move to New York with the two children and become a housekeeper and a cook in a hotel. Would you believe this? And to this day, the family keeps in touch with the children who disinherited her. I don't understand that. This is unbelievable to me. There's my brother in a little thing. They didn't know he was sick at the point. Sad. We'll go past that. Oh, there's the table where the dog bit me to the shin, and there he is in the background. The exact table where Tippy bit me to the shin. There's the laundry again hanging on a clothesline. Would you believe this? It's very quaint what you think about. People would like that, like tar paper on the side. I look like a sharecropper in Alabama, this cottage that we used for the summer. Unbelievable. I really did come from poverty. I didn't know it, though. I had clean clothes, dead man's pants. What does a kid want? Fresh meals every day that could give you three heart attacks by the time you're 14. She's putting on weight already. I'm not interested in this one. I don't like what the pig. There's the dog, the monster teeth, the pot purple tongue. Now we're moving on. Does anyone want me to do this? You want me to do politics? All right, cut it out. We've had enough, Mike. No more. You don't want me to do any more of the family pictures? I think it's a... Robert, should I do it more or you want me to go back to politics? Oh, there's a picture of me again, the faggy cigarette, drink in hand. I must be the same event. There's the friend who wrote obituaries for a Jewish newspaper who had been molested by a dentist. There is an ex-relative of mine who robbed everyone in the family. May he rest in peace. There is an old friend of mine who wound up selling neckties in the garment center. There is the dog again. Again, Tippy the dog. And I think that's enough for nostalgia now. I'm at the verge now of memories of the good old days that never were, of not wanting to do it anymore. You want me to do it? Buddy needs to hear you want me to do it. If you want me to do this, you got to call, and I'll do it. If you don't want me to do it, you got to call. No, Mike, get off that garbage. I want you to go back to. I want you, second car France attack on pedestrians as many as 10 days. Dobby says de Blasio black leaders fueling flames of racism. An ad that I didn't read today because I didn't get paid yet. I'm not reading it. Salesman's close. Everyone's off but me. De Blasio. 17,500 Germans gathered to sing Christmas carols against Islamization. That's a good story, really. That's a very good story, but guess who's against them? The elites of Germany are against the German people themselves. Sound familiar? They're marching against Islamization of the West. They're singing Christmas carols. And Merkel, who I once had respect for, is now against the movement against radical Islam. They're all sellouts. All the leaders are like Dianne Feinstein. They're all quisling traitors, every last one of them. Okay, where are we? I'll do my email, see if anyone sent me anything from the relatives. KVOR Beth, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hi, I love you just the way you are. If it wasn't for you, I would hardly ever crack up.
So you didn't mind me reading the family stories?
No, I love it. I love it. I listened to you in the mid-90s and your grandma's meatballs, and I think... she would wash out a chicken with salt on the inside.
Oh, I gave you secrets on koshering food so you didn't get staphylococcus with the wing.
Well, I just remembered that, and I've always done that with chicken.
Yeah, right, right, right. They first you washed it with cold water. Never wash your food with hot water. Do you know why?
Why?
See, the youngsters don't know anything. You get a hipster with a beard with a new Mercedes, he doesn't know how to wash a chicken. Why? Because if you wash your food with hot water, you're stimulating the growth of bacteria. So if you get it out of the Safeway package, you're not hunting it. I mean, you're not with a bow and arrow with a chicken. You got to wash it with cold running water in the sink until all and blah, blah, get rid of it. Then you salt the thing to death in and out, but quickly, and then wash the salt off after a minute. Because you know what? You don't want to salt the meat per se. You want to kill the bacteria on contact with salt. Salt is a powerful killer of bacteria. You know that, right?
Right.
So anyway, that's how you start the preparation of the chicken. Then you dry it, then you cook it. I'm not going to give any cooking instructions.
I learned so much from you. You're such an interesting man, and you're funny, and you are cynical, but how can you...
Yeah, what's wrong with cynicism? Is cynicism a crime in America?
No, I say it's not cynicism anymore. It doesn't exist. It's the truth.
Yeah, that's right. In other words, people confuse the truth with cynicism or sarcasm. But I want to remind you of something else. Cynicism and sarcasm are legitimate forms of protest. And in this case, I'm protesting the concept that there were good old days. There never were good old days. Never.
Yeah.
I don't think they were good. Well, okay, there were better days than now under this communist, anti-American a dictator. I agree. But it doesn't mean it was nirvana. The kids were mean when I was a kid anyway. You had to fight every day of your life where I grew up. Or line yourself up with tougher kids who could fight for you and pay them. I don't know, whatever you had to do. Pay them with kindness or with stories. But nobody went to school and didn't get pummeled one way or the other as a kid. And not in the place I grew up in. Not that there was like today with shooting, where they shoot people just to see them jump in the air with a shotgun. That's a different story. But there was a level of meanness and hostility from boy to boy. You had to defend yourself as a kid. Do you know... I don't know. I'm going to send you a copy of... What am I sending you? What are you getting for free? No, I need the woman to tell me. Beth, are you still there?
Sure.
If you name it, you gain it. What's the name of the free book I'm sending you?
Stop the Coming Civil War.
Bingo! A fresh hardcover cover copy never read before. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Stop the music. We can't sing White Christmas, right? Al Sharpton is now the censor-in-chief for Sony Pictures, so we now need him to tell us what songs we can listen to. And I think any song which references White Christmas has to be eliminated in the new Obama landscape. WOKI in Nashville. Rich, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Rich?
Hey, Dr. Savage. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to tell you, I enjoy listening to your stories from your past and your description of your photographs. I'm just sitting here cracking up.
Well, that's it. The thing is, look, I'm here to entertain my audience. I'm here to educate them when I'm in the mood, and they're in the mood. But I don't think people's minds are on education today and information, right?
No, I mean, we've got it up to our ears with...
Thank you very much. We all know the news. In 2 seconds on the Drudge Report, bingo, you got the news. What do you need me for? All the hosts, they read the Drudge Report like they're Arthur Sulzberger, Sr., like Jonathan Pulitzer, because they read the Drudge Report like they discovered it. I have a special Hollywood guest in the next hour. You're going to enjoy it, I guarantee you. It's going to be like a good interchange, a good rap. He and I, you'll see.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Elvis recomposed the song. He was ahead of his time when you think about it. He knew that the day would come when the left-wing Nazis would be ruling the cultural landscape. And so he created Blue Christmas so as not to offend those who are not white. Anyway, I did the first hour in a way no one's ever done in the history of radio. It was called Walking the Tightrope Without a Net. It's done once in a while in the history of radio. I'm famous for it. I did it today. If you missed it, I'm sorry. You can't get it. But starting next year, we're going to do it so that you can get it on a replay podcast, all my archives. We're going to do a video feed. I'm giving a little, you know, peek into what we're going to do of me in the studio. I actually bought new clothes for the show. You can see what the guys see, what I'm wearing. I'm trying out outfits now, like a blue fedora, black leather jacket. I don't know about that outfit. It may be suit and tie. The dog, but you'll see me eating in the kitchen area of the studio during breaks. And once a month, I'm going to do like a one-hour thing with no ads on any topic, science, poetry, art, whatever, rap. You can watch me paint for an hour if I want to just be behind the scenes so that we can have you just like do it. And that's that. But so I did that. I looked at pictures. I called it Memories of the Good Old Days That Never Were. And I pulled out pictures from a little box, and as I was looking at them, I just rapped on what they brought back to my memory. And there were no good old days. It was different. The left-wing Nazis weren't ruling America and destroying every part of our culture, but it was still a different world than you may think. It wasn't this idealized, you know, life with father thing. Not for me, it wasn't. Which leads me to a couple of different things. I have a great Hollywood guest coming up in this hour, a good friend of mine, and I hope he'll become a friend of yours. He wrote a great article called De Blasio and Black Leaders Fueling Flames of Racism in America, Robert Davi and Breitbart, and you're going to hear from him. But I'm going to turn him very quickly from that to him and I just rapping like two guys over a scotch or some... What did we drink the other night? We didn't drink scotch. I brought a bottle of the best Italian wine in the world. It's ridiculous. I forget. Gaia. G-A-J-A. Can't even find it. Gaia. Sorry, San Lorenzo. It's a very, very amazing wine. And we talked. I'm going to talk on the radio. WABC in New York. Rachel, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi. As I was listening to you talking about your upbringing, and I know that you're Jewish, I became very curious about something. I'm an observant Orthodox Jew. I'm a big fan of yours. I'm a conservative Republican. There are a lot of observant Orthodox Jews who are, by the way. And I was curious, when I was listening to you talking about your background, if you were raised observant or Orthodox, or if any of your close relatives were Orthodox?
No, not really. In fact, my father was an atheist. And he didn't believe in God, didn't believe in religion. He laughed at it all. He thought it was, he was very cynical about it. He was a Russian realist who had the stuffing kicked out of him. So he came over here and had to fight for everything he had. And things happened in his life where he lost, if he ever had any faith, he never had it around me. So he wasn't a believer. He wasn't a scorner, but he just didn't believe in religion. My mother was not very religious, but she was a super believer in God. And I got that from her. I am probably closer to spirituality than anyone in my family in terms of, let's say, I know there's a higher presence, and no one needs me to tell them that. As far as ritualistically religious, I am not.
You said something interesting last week when you were watching Obama telling all of these Jews, I have a Jewish soul. And you were saying how it made you sick the way all of the Jews in that room were licking his boots. Even though he has been so, not a friend to Israel, and that's a very mild way to put it. I wanted to tell you, as an Orthodox observant Jew, that the non-Orthodox, non-observant Jews tend to, for the most part, be liberals, liberal Democrats.
Not tend to. They're 1,000% socialist left-wing lunatics.
Yes, I agree
with you. In fact, I read an article yesterday from the New York Magazine, New York Times Magazine, and it was about the liberal Jews in the most powerful synagogues in America wringing their hands because Israel's too Jewish and Israel's too nationalistic, and they're saying they're agonizing over Israel's rightward turn and hoping that Hillary Clinton could somehow rekindle the spirit of 1993 about all of these so-called liberal Jews. And they list all of the liberal Jews in one synagogue in Washington, D.C., in the Power Synagogue, including David Gregory, thrown off the air from Meet the Press, Jake Tapper, a disgraced former CNN anchor, and Dana Bash, a Washington correspondent. You know, it gives pause to the concept of what are these people thinking? Why do they lick this man's boots when he is so clearly anti-Israel?
I agree with you so much, and I want you to know that being in Orthodox communities and visiting friends and relatives in Orthodox communities, that we are, for the most part, conservative Republicans.
I know that. I know that very well, so that's nothing new to me. I get that.
Okay.
Are you allowed to read a secular book?
Yes, of course I am.
I'm joking. I'm going to send you a secular book to go along with your religious books. It's my Bible. It's called Stop the Coming Civil War. Please share it with your friends in the community. Now let's go to my special guest, Robert Davi. Robert Davi, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Miguel.
So, Robert, did you hear me? You didn't hear last hour, did you? You're getting ready for your TV show?
A bit about the wonderful wine we had.
In the first hour, Robert, I did something never before done in radio. I took out a box, a shoe box of family pictures, and I went off the news and started looking at the pictures and just rapping, free associating, my memories of those pictures. And I called it Memories of the Good Old Days That Never Were. And then I said, I'm going to have my friend on from a good friend of mine from Hollywood, who's going to talk about his great article in Breitbart about de Blasio and black leaders fueling flames of racism in America. But before we do that, Robert, after that, I want you and I to just talk about the so-called good old days, right? But your article struck me when you talked about the number of Italians who were lynched way back when here in America. Can you tell that story?
In 1891 in New Orleans, a police chief was murdered. They blamed the Sicilian Italian community. They were acquitted by a grand jury. And after they were acquitted, seven Italians were hung, and two more that were in jail, unrelated to that incident, were all hung the same day. The New York Times, at that time, wrote an article, and the guy that was to become the governor of Louisiana at that time also, they said that Italians were lower than the Negro, filthier, dirtier, and also the Catholicism that they practiced was also something that was looked scorned.
So wait, on March 16th, 1891, a mob dragged nine Italians from the jail and lynched them?
Yes.
So there was racism that we never heard about, did we?
It's never been really talked about. It's never really been brought up. But
how come the Italian community didn't go sniveling and crying and demand the reparations?
Because that's not what they were taught. Again, when my grandfather came here at the turn of the century, a Sicilian from Sicily, Franco Davi, he enlisted in the United States Infantry, got two Purple Hearts and an oak leaf cluster. He had to learn English. There was no press two for Italian. You had to learn English.
I like that one. It would, I wish there was a press too for English now in America. I can't find anyone who speaks it in the restaurant business.
You know, it's funny, and I just remembered because the other night, and I won't mention the person's name, but he's just head of a studio here, and I remembered what I had said to him. I was saying language borders culture. He goes, "Do you listen to Savage?" I go, "Yeah," and then he said he's a huge listener to Savage, blah, 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 blah.
Wait, let's backtrack. The guy I said blah, blah, blah as one of the worst devils listens to me?
No, not that guy, no. No.
Which guy? No. Oh, the new guy, the animator guy?
No, don't even mention anything, yeah. Something else.
Got it.
Something else. This was a different dinner. This was the night after.
We're doing an Omerta conversation where no one knows what we're talking about.
Right, that's a Sicilian.
We got like the toothpick over the mouth with the hand. No one knows what we're saying.
Not only that, did you know that the funny part about, what's his name, the chin? He used to speak in rhymes, and they had to translate. Three different guys had to translate his rhymes, Michael.
So he would have been a great talk show host in his day. He probably could have made more money legitimately on the radio than he did in his field of enterprise. So, Robert, let me ask you something. The people know you. You've been in how many movies?
About 130 plus.
Unbelievable. And the girls threw themselves at you in the restaurant. What was that about?
I don't know. You know, I think they...
What do you mean you don't know? Yeah. I'm walking out of the restaurant. They kept running up. Oh, Robert Davi, I wanted to sit next to you. Oh, I felt like humiliated. I mean, here I've written 29 books. They didn't even know who I was.
No, I think maybe it was... maybe the music, you know what I mean? I think, you know, who knows? They respond to the tough guy. You know, I did that TV series Profiler, and Goonies was a huge hit. So
what was the biggest movie you were in, Robert?
You know, look, there's several of them, you know, but, I mean, culturally, I'm lucky enough to have Goonies, which is a cult hit, Die Hard, which is another cult hit. They're now calling Die Hard a Christmas movie, which is strange to me, because it takes place during Christmas, but it's not. Anyway, Showgirls, and then I had Profiler, and, you know, over the years, lots of other...
See, I keep referring to a little-known B-movie that I loved you in. You played the assassin in Kill the Irishman.
Right, right.
I couldn't believe how sinister you are in that movie. In real life, you're not like that at all. You're worse.
I'm worse. Much worse. No. To me, Mike, my music is who I am. That's really who I am. But getting back to the Sicilians there in New Orleans, it was a travesty. And so my grandfather enlisted in the war. And this is the same story of the Jewish and the Irish immigrants. They did not victimize themselves. They wanted to be in America, and they made the best they could of it.
That's correct. And they knew that their son had a chance to do better, and their grandson could do better. They didn't sit crying and complaining. How come the Italians didn't have an Al Sharpton?
Well, that's another interesting thing. I mean, they had a Joey Gallo for one particular time, the Italian Anti-Defamation League.
Yes, that did him a lot of good.
That did him a lot of good. But the thing of it is there was never... Really, there was awareness of it, but it wasn't about victimization. It wasn't about, I went before a grand jury because my name ends in a vowel. That's a whole story. The LA Times magazine section said one time, the mob goes to Hollywood on a Sunday, and my picture was there and my name.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you, this has nothing to do, but, Have police officers sometimes...
Well, is there any truth to it? Because if there is, there's a few people in the radio business are like whacked.
Unfortunately, well, there's...
Sorry about that. Come on, people understand we're just joking here. So, Robert, I love this conversation. So I loved you in Kill the Irishman. You told me you're in The Iceman. I haven't seen that one yet. When did that came out last year, right? 2 years ago?
In May, yeah.
The Iceman. Who do you play in that movie?
I play a character based on Anthony Gaggi, who was the captain of the Gambino crime family. The character's name is Leo Marx, but James Franco is in it, and Michael Shannon plays the Iceman, Richard Kuklinski, Ray Liotta, Winona Ryder, Chris Evans.
Amazing movie. I got to watch that for Christmas. Like when everyone's unwrapping packages, I'll watch that movie. So how do you get into that role? How do you go into the mindset of one of the bad guys? Because you're really a nice guy.
Well, you know, look, everybody has people that they want to, you know, everybody has a little bit of temper, right? A little bit of anger, a little bit of frustration.
You? I'm shocked to hear that.
You know, I got a lot of that. I can let it out every now and then. But
So in other words, you let that side of you play out on the screen.
Human beings, as you know, Mike, are complex. We're all complex. We have everything in us.
And amen. Amen. I am you, you are me, and we are all together, the Beatles.
There you go. And it's the whole totality of the human race is in our blood. So you tap into that. You know, your imagination then starts.
Oh, I love this conversation. Robert Davi, could you stay with us a few more minutes and give us some more of the wit and wisdom of Robert Davi? Would you? I think he said yes. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Welcome back to the good old days that never were, the Savage Nation. Robert Davi, live from Beverly Hills. Robert, welcome back to the Savage Nation. So, Robert, you're on the way to... What? Like you're trying out for, what do you call that?
No, it's just my tryout for music. I'm doing a show New Year's Eve. I'm just rehearsal, that's all.
Where's your show New Year's Eve?
It's at a private, a brand new club in New York that's opening up called The Hunt.
Oh, my God. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You got great friends. I want to hang out with you guys one of these nights.
It's fun. You got to come to Vegas when I do it.
A lot of them are really, they're in the business, so they can't admit they like me, but they do listen to the show a lot. I know that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys I know.
So, Robert, let me ask you something. You're an actor, but you're really an opera singer. Didn't you once tell my audience you trained as an opera singer as a young kid?
Oh, yeah. I studied in Florence with Tito Gobbi. I studied with Dan Farrow at Juilliard. I studied with Samuel Margolis, who taught Robert Merrill. And then
now, this is an interesting story. How did your parents come to understand you had talent in singing?
When I was 4 years old, well, anyway, how? Because I won awards. I won first place New York State Solo Competition, New York State School Music Association. So
it was, so you were singing in elementary school, like right off the bat?
Well, no. Elementary, I did plays. And the teachers in fourth grade said to my parents, you should encourage him in the arts. He has a natural talent. Then in ninth grade, they discovered the voice. And that's when...
But, Robert, let me ask, were your parents educated people, or were they not educated in the sense that we know today, college?
It was technical school. You know, the
But they must have had an artistic sense to see that in you and not be running from it, saying it's no good, because a lot of working-class people are afraid of the artistic nature of their children. You know that.
Yes. No, they were supportive of it. That my father came to Hollywood after World War II.
Oh, I got to hear more about this. My father tried to beat the artist out of me. See, we were different that way. That's why I wound up the man I am today. Robert Dobbie, stay. I want to talk more. We'll be right back on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. Unfortunately, Robert Dobbie was in a bad zone on his way to a rehearsal, and the sound quality wasn't what I wanted it to be, so we'll do it another day when he's near a landline. But he and I are like blood brothers. I mean, you know, every time we talk, we can go on forever. And I think people pick up on that electricity. But you saw where he was going with his stories and how amazing they were. You know, here's a tough Italian kid who had sensitivities as an artist, and the parents didn't try to beat it out of him. Instead, they cultivated it. And when I'm sending him to, like, singing school in Italy, here I am on the opposite side. Anytime I showed any artistic inclinations, my father thought I would wind up, you know, on the side of the road or underneath a subway car, stripped naked on the third rail, so he tried to beat it out of me. Go figure. But, you know, whatever's in you comes out anyway. That's the interesting thing to know. You can't blame it on your parents or expect your parents to cultivate what's in you. If something is strong enough in you, it will come up to the surface, either through your own or whatever. And that's the end of the story. You can only blame your parents for so much, and you can only expect your parents to do so much. At the end of the day, it's up to you. The same with individuals, if I have to spell it out for you, you know, who want the government to be big daddy for them, you know. That's so we'll go from that to something else now. So we got back to the open general programming, what I was doing, and now we're going to do what you're doing. And if there's breaking news, I will give it to you. Let us go to Lenore on WABC in New York. Lenore, go ahead. You're on The Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael?
Yeah, we don't know each other. You get me, like a hi, Michael, like a relative. Sorry, don't know why it's so intimate. What's on your mind?
I'm from Utopia Parkway.
Well, a lot of people from Utopia Parkway, they wouldn't call me with like a sexy voice and say, hi, Michael. Come on, Lenore, we don't know each other, do we?
Well, we may have. I don't know. We may have.
Oh, wait a minute now. This is a family show, Lenore. Come on.
I went to Jamaica High School, lived right off Utopia Parkway in Jewell.
You did? Did we ever know each other in high school?
I don't know.
But did you have a similar background to mine?
No.
No, nobody did. No, I had a weird upbringing, even in my community I had a weird upbringing by comparison.
Well, I had wonderful parents and a wonderful family.
Oh, so did I, but it was weird. It was weird wonderful.
Okay. Well, whatever.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was a men's clothing salesman.
It was like soft goods. And what, your mom was a housekeeper?
Yeah, housewife, right.
Housewife, like they call it home today, homekeeper.
Homekeeper.
Homemaker.
Right.
And it was true, it was a home. It is a full-time job.
Right. We had a
today, as I said, you have $2 million kitchens that they don't turn the stove on.
Well, that's true, too.
My mother had a four-burner electric stove. She could put out 10 meals a day.
Oh, my. Okay.
Lenore, thank you for calling. WABC, Joel, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to discuss something about your guest, Mr. Dobbie, Robert.
Yes, that would be nice. A little continuity, and I'm glad you didn't start with like an intimate statement like you're a stalker.
Well, I grew up in the Bronx, but I originally was born in Italy. And I came to this country in when I was 4 years old in 1955 on the Andrea Doria right before it.
Oh, my God. I was going to ask you. I swear to God, you took it out of, like, what ship did you come over on? That's amazing.
That's a beautiful. I remember it, too. I presently teach chemistry now. I'm a college professor. But anyway, I want to talk about this this lynching that Mr. Davi was talking about. I've been following that for many, many years because I'm proud to be Italian and my culture, and we got really bad rap with all that negative stuff. And growing up in the Bronx, I saw a lot of that, Arthur Avenue. That's why I continued my education. And I've been listening to you for many, many years, and I kind of model myself a little bit. I have a lot of similarities with you. I went to City College for free before open enrollment. Great education, and I continue.
Oh, right. And before open enrollment, you mean when you had to actually learn and earn grades?
That's right. I had to take the subway to go down there. My father worked in the South Bronx as a cabinet maker. That's when they had factories in the Bronx. My mother was
amazing. A cabinet maker. Could you imagine today a cabinet maker? They're all made, you know, nothing. They make cabinets in America anymore.
Well, it was in the South Bronx, and that was in the late 50s, 60s. My mother was a dressmaker in factories in the Bronx. You know,
So we were producing in our own country. We were making things.
We were producing. They came here. They were 40 years old, my parents. They didn't speak English. My father learned it, but my mother didn't.
How did you become a chemistry professor, Joel, from an immigrant background, non-English speaking? How did you become a chemistry professor?
I went to City College. I'm a little bit like you. I like everything. I like knowledge. I like to know. I like to read. I like to study. And I was always good at school. I was good in high school. I worked hard. I was good at math. I had that deductive reasoning kind of mind.
You had an inquisitive mind, and you could think on your own, right?
Right, and I've been teaching. I've been a teacher for 40 years, and college teaching for 32 years. Chemistry. I just love the science. I love teaching. I love to.
Let me ask you something. Have they politicized chemistry, where you have to teach? Jenny has two mommies in a chemistry class, or is chemistry still immune from that insanity?
It's still immune. It's a pure science. It's very difficult to bring in that stuff.
You know, one of the things I loved about chemistry was, you know, one of my heroes is Linus Pauling, as you know. And Linus Pauling, who won a Nobel Prize in chemistry, said that the reason he went into chemistry was, he said, it was the one field of science where you could absolutely get to an irrefutable truth. There was no way to deny what you were discovering. It was or it wasn't. In other words, either sodium is sodium or it isn't sodium, right? Either iron is iron or it's not iron. You couldn't equivocate on it.
Right, it's numerical, it's quantitative, it's, again, deductive reasoning, it's not this subjective reasoning that this fictional way of thinking that many of the left have today. I saw that at City College, obviously, but I also saw great teachers, great professors, many of them were Jewish immigrants from Germany and other countries, and they're great teachers of science, and I was really influenced and motivated and helped to be motivated by them. Besides, my parents were very good people. And so,
Joel, let me ask you this. The kids today who are studying chemistry, what are they like?
They're getting a little better. In the 80s, in the 90s, it was really tough. The math thinking is tough. What I do is I don't allow, I discourage laptops in the classroom. I want them to write using penmanship, using their hand, the notes that I put on the board. I'm kind of old school in that way. I think and I know it's very effective because it helps develop the neurons better.
Absolutely 100% right. Feedback, the hand-eye coordination, because you have to go then to the laboratory portion of your chemistry teaching. How are they going to even light a Bunsen burner if all they do is work on a computer?
Exactly. And I teach the lab. When I do the lab, it's a three-hour lab. It could be it's hands-on. It's real in the real world. It's in a three-dimensional space. And they really have to think and be deductive in their reasoning.
Can I ask a loaded question, and I'm not doing it for any reason not to stir the pot. Is your class racially mixed generally, or is there only one group of people who tends to study chemistry?
It's mixed. It's pretty mixed. The ones that are there, they're good. I mean, I just handed in the grades now in one of the courses I taught.
So you get kids from all ethnic backgrounds wanting to study chemistry, or is it a required course?
Study chemistry, they want to go on into the clinical profession or the technical fields, the chemical.
I would assume that you have a lot of Asian students. They're very, very excellent at mathematical skills, right, and analytics?
Yeah, we have across the board. They're all there, Hispanics, all African Americans, across the board.
Beautiful. Well, that's. I was afraid to ask the question. So you did a mural on the lynching of Italians, Joel. Is that what you're calling about?
Did I? A friend of mine who's a great artist, he was in World War II, he's Italian, Italian-American, Edward Joby. He did a tremendous mural about this lynching, 1891. In fact, I have a copy of the New York Times, the front page of 1891, March 19th. It went over, it was a couple of days in March that they presented this report on the lynching of the Italians. Just like Mr. Davi was talking about, perfect. It's the greatest lynching, massive lynching of any ethnic group in America, even more than African Americans.
Is that that's astounding. I never heard of it, honest to God, and I pride myself on having a wide range of esoteric knowledge. I didn't know this.
Go to the New York Times. You can get a copy of it. It's in March, and they ran this page, and it was not very, it was kind of derogatory of Italians, the way they present it. I don't have the copy in front of me right now.
How many Italians were lynched in 1891 in Louisiana?
It was about 11 were actually lynched.
No, 9 were found not guilty. Mob dragged those 9 Italians and 2 others from the jail and lynched them. Right. Unbelievable. And the New York Times put down those who were lynched.
That's right. It was negative stereotyping of Italians. And they connected to the, even then, to the mafia, they used that term even then. And these were Sicilian hardworking people that worked on the docks of New Orleans. In fact, Michael, New Orleans had the greatest Italian American population up to that time, before even more than New York. And after
I've come to understand that recently. I didn't know that. I had no idea. I mean, that explains you mix the Cajun food with the Italian food, and that's why you have some of the most interesting food in the world is in New Orleans.
Last year you were there, and I've been to New Orleans. I have a cousin down there, and you were talking about.
Oh yeah, I love the sense of the streets in New Orleans. I really did. I love the street artists. I like the musicians in the street. The whole feeling of New Orleans was amazing. And as I said, I think New Orleans is what San Francisco pretends to be, but never was.
Right, Michael. The one section was called Little Palermo, actually, before the French borders. It was called Little Palermo.
I enjoyed New Orleans a great deal. Joel, I really appreciate your calling the show, and I'm glad to hear you're one of my regular listeners. You know, you never know who listens to a show. It's an amazing thing when you get such a kind of friendly, you know, connection like this. But I really appreciate it, Joel. Thank you. Let's send Joel a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War so that we can stop the coming Civil War. 855-400-7282. How's my driving? Call 1-800-SAVAGE. How's my driving? 855-407-282. It's a different kind of show. I mean, I'm not doing the news today. I'm doing, you know what it is? Almost an hour, 2 hours already. I'm almost 2 hours already. Who does this in radio? Who takes out a box of family pictures and walks on a tightrope without a net and starts rapping on the pictures? Maybe I'll never do it again. I could be embarrassed in years to come. In my last days on earth, I will be lying in the old age home looking back on this day with shame. Why did I do that? It is the worst day of my life. Why did I expose my family and myself to these? You know what? I'm not ashamed of it. I didn't do anything wrong. I think what triggered this is that it's the holidays. I know you're sick of the news, and you don't want to hear it anymore. You know, enough is enough. And I know I had a dream last night. I'm very, very oriented. My dreams control me in some way. Last night, a dream of one of my kids when they were young in like a baseball suit. And I just found the picture in that box. It's eerie. I remember finding the picture and looking at him when he was a kid and in the dream feeling sad that that time has come and gone. It was like, holy God, you know, that was a long time ago. And there's a thing about that. I heard from someone once that one of the reasons, well, I don't want to go into that. It's probably not a good place to go, is that one of the reasons parents sometimes resent their own children is because they feel as the child gets older, it shows them that they're getting older. Because many of us are in denial about the fact that we're getting older. You understand that? And it's only through our own children and grandchildren we come to understand, hey, buddy, you know, can you spare some time? I mean, you get that one, right? You know, time waits for no man. And we don't want to accept it. Many of us are in denial about our age. I'm one of those people. I'm eternally youthful because I have a cardiologist friend. Thank God the heart's still good, no problems. go there once in a while just to talk about the charts with him, and I don't mean the horoscope. And every time it's the same thing. He says, your numbers are way off, but you're not dead, so do what you're doing. And I don't take Lipitor. I take none of that garbage because it almost crippled me. I took it for 2 days. I couldn't walk. So instead, I massive amounts of vitamin C, garlic, blah, blah, blah. But I have very low LPA, which is inherited, which explains why I'm still living. I mean, I'm swimming in vitamin C. I'm swimming in ascorbic acid. I'm swimming in vitamin A. I'm swimming in the B vitamins. I'm swimming in wine. Yeah, by the way, alcohol can't be that bad for you when you think about it. I'm a regular drinker. I'm not a heavy, you know. Well, maybe by today's standards, yes, but no, not old world standards. And my blood work came back. I have perfect liver, perfect kidneys. What's the nightmare with the alcohol that everyone's afraid of? You know, I'd like to see a brain scan of potheads at my age. That's what I'd like to see. See, like, big empty spaces. They look like Harvey Weinstein's behind. Moving on from that little remark, we'll get back to regular programming in a moment. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCOIN. I love that bump. I love that one. That's a great piece of music. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I got my lab work back. I know. It's like, what? Is he crazy? It's not bad. I mean, everything's off, and yet I'm still living, and I'm on no medication. So it just shows you what they're worth. Total cholesterol, 216. Triglycerides, 146. HDL, 35. LDL, 152. Cardiologists listening to this figure, they're going to call 911. The one thing I don't like is the PSA went up from 18 to 2.4. I don't like that. That's bothering me. The PSA, the prostate, that's like prostate-specific, right, antigen? 1.8 like a year ago. Now it's 2.4. I don't like it. It was stable, and it's rising, and I may do a song on that. Vitamin D, that's like this whole thing with vitamin D, I'm not sure about. Vitamin D, 25 hydroxy is 17.9. It's low. It should be between 30 and 100. I'm not convinced of that, the vitamin D thing. I'm not quite sure of that particular theory. And since vitamin D is a powerful hormone, I'm not into it. It seriously affects calcium absorption. I do avoid the sun. I mean, because of the skin cancer thing, I'm never in the sun. I'm like a monk, you know, from the 1700s who lives in an ice cave. Never. Even if when I'm in the sun on a bicycle, I have like things on my head like a Japanese gardener from the 1940s. I don't let sunlight touch my skin, which I know is the reason I have low vitamin D. So like every once in a while, I go on the deck and get naked, like rub my skin in the sun, like a primitive, rub the shins. I remember like, you know about B cells in your immune system? You know where most of them are produced? In your shins. Did you know that? Your little old shins that you keep hidden in pants and under socks? It's a very good idea. That's why the old Jews would sit on the boardwalk in Coney Island, they'd raise their pants up to their knee. They complained, like it sounded like Glenn Beck complaining about their illnesses. Oh, my hemorrhoids, I tell you. Yeah, you think you got some of the hemorrhoids, don't you? They all like sound like Glenn Beck, but he's not even Jewish. They'd raise their pants up to the knees and rub their shins in the sun. They were stimulating their B-cell production. They didn't know that. Hey, go figure things that work. Creatinine is good. All the stuff that's supposed to be bad from the alcohol doesn't show up here. Nothing. Zero. Yeah, go ahead, potheads. Keep smoking. Get back to me when you're my age. Let's see what your brain looks like.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Okay, we're in hour number three. I'm going to continue what I was doing, which is basically none news. If there's news, you'll get it. But you can get the news in 3 seconds by going to the Drudge Report or any of the other sites, my site, which I'm not going to pump. Instead, I've been doing other things. I opened up a box of family pictures for a journal book that I'm publishing, and I started to rap on the family pictures, which was a risky thing, you know. I don't know if you liked it. Then I had Robert Davi on. We went into the nine Italians who were lynched in 1891. with no complaining or whining or screaming for reparations. And then I read the my lab results on the air. What do I care? I'll try anything. I think it's interesting for you to see me slowly die on the radio over a period of time. I was reading like my lab report, and everything looks good because it's all still upside down. All of the lipids are bad. And the only thing I don't like about it is the PSA is going up, which I don't like. That's like a man thing. You know, every guy's worried about it. It goes too high. You got to have the Schleiser cup. They got to take out the knife and give you a cut. And then next thing you know, you're finished. PSA 2.4. As long as it's down there, but I don't know if it starts rising. It's like Bad Moon Rising. Yeah, Bad Moon Rising. It's a good song. Homocysteine, we don't do anymore. Does anyone read their lab reports like I do? I'm the only guy on radio who studies his ratings on each of 250, 300 stations. I study ratings. I'm a statistician. I have that training. I like numbers. I like to see what's going on. I read my lab results. I like to study numbers. Numbers are very interesting. It's like numerology. LDL is still horrible, upside down. And I don't take Lipitor's. It just shows you. Because I inherited one factor which you cannot correct, which is LPA cholesterol. I keep telling you that. The LPA cholesterol cannot be modified with any drug or any vitamin. It's an inherited factor. And it's inversely related to atherosclerosis. So if you have a low LPA, bingo, you're home free. You can just do what you want. No, it's not 100% true, but it's one of the factors that people don't seem to know about. They don't test for it. Because I should have been dead. I shouldn't say that. I'm saying I thought I would be. There's a little like extra years to the detriment of all of the liberals who've tried to stand in my way my whole life. So here's a story that my friend Matt Drudge sent. Fatal heart attacks occur on Christmas more than any other day. I swear to God. I'm not surprised with the heavy food and the families and the drinking and the ornaments and the children and stepping on toys and plastic and one bathroom in a neighbor's house. I don't know. Is that why? It's become the norm for many of us, harried, hurried, and just plain old stress, blah, blah, blah. Moment he felt the largest artery in his body battered by high blood pressure and chronic stress tear. He said, it may be over with me. I don't want to read this. Air ambulance to Baylor's Heart Hospital, Plano, Texas. 5 weeks in a coma. 12 weeks of rehabilitation to learn. Why am I reading this? So the number one day for heart attacks is Christmas? Is that in this story here? I'm reading this whole thing about this guy, Mark. I don't care about Mark. Wait, fatal heart attacks occur on Christmas more than any other day. I'm reading the story about a guy, Mark. But where's the story about Christmas, the relationship? Where's the data on that statement? I don't see the data supporting that. Oh, here it goes. Researchers one decade ago found that more fatal heart attacks occur on Christmas Day than any other day of the year. Why don't you blame Jesus for that? It's just like a subtle attack on Christmas. So what, atheists get fewer heart attacks on Christmas because they hate God? Is that what I'm supposed to conclude? Everywhere you turn now is a propaganda story. So if you're not a Christian, you're not going to get a heart attack? How great. If you burn a cross, I guess you're really safe. Research one day found that more fatal heart attacks on Christmas Day than any other day. And the second busiest day is December 26th. And the third busiest is January 1st. Christmas coronary. So what is it that does it? I mean, I can pretty much figure it out. Heavy food, a lot of alcohol, sitting on your behind. Why? Could be the Christmas lights that do it. Maybe passing a manger on the way. If you're an atheist, I guess if you see a manger on the way to the Christmas party, you get a heart attack. See, it's not a valid study. In order to make it valid, say which people get more heart attacks on Christmas Day, Christians or non-Christians. If it's non-Christians who get more heart attacks, it's telling you one thing. If it's Christians, it's telling you another. So it could be that the atheists are getting the heart attacks on Christmas because they're atheists. Or because they're so heartbroken that they don't have a family. I don't know why. Why would people have more heart attacks on Christmas? That's nonsense. It doesn't make sense to me to read this. You have to understand which population is getting the higher number of heart attacks on Christmas. Is it the people with families on Christmas Day with families or people who don't have families who feel lonely and abuse themselves? See, this is why some of these headlines don't make sense. A lot of families also drink too much and they eat heavy food. That could be something. Where does these statistics come from? What, seeing Santa gives you a heart attack? I could see, you know, seeing your in-laws giving you a heart attack, but I live 3,000 miles away from the nearest in-law that I left behind. What does it? Can't be too much sex on Christmas Day. Right, so you have to rule that out, right? I'm trying to reason with it. You're blaming stress. It could be you're too happy and you get a heart attack. Or you can't say it's from too much sex. No one has sex on Christmas Day. It's like, oh, are you kidding? Like, you know, you could have sex any other, no, not Christmas Day. Jesus is watching for me. No, don't, are you kidding? No, don't touch me. Get out of here. Go get out of here. Don't, you dirty animal. Go away. Don't come near me. It's Christmas Day. It's the day of the Lord. Are you crazy? Dirty mind of yours? Christmas gifts, money? 855-407-282. Any topic is fair game. I don't want to do the news. I could do it. I'm so bored of it. I don't want to say the name de Blasio ever again as long as I live. I want Al Sharpton simply to be rewarded and go to heaven already. That's all. It's time already he went up there and upset God. When you have a lousy human being like this who's made his entire career on stirring up hatred, do you want me to get agitated over him? He lives off agitation. You want me to talk about that again? We know what's going on. All right, let's go. We'll do the one soundbite for the political junkies. Let's have clip number one. You know who this is already. Go ahead.
We've talked about this so many times, and I'm going to talk about it again. And now the question is, what are you guys going to do? What are you guys going to do? Are you going to keep dividing us? I'm not talking about every single one of you, but let's get real.
That's Mussolini de Blasio, got mad at the press for talking about how he steamed up the race haters where eventually two cops got killed. So now he attacks the press, and they're all like, oh, wow. Now he's mad because he attacked them. Now it's the gloves are off. Yeah, there we go. I'm live this whole hour. The people are not used to it. They don't know where I'm going to go next. I like it. It's like old days. I could do 5 hours if I had to. Dow was up 18,000? GDP best in a decade? Who's making this money? I don't have a nickel in the stock market. I missed it, I guess. I missed the boom. I was going to invest in an Ebola stock. It's a good thing I didn't. They all went down. I don't have a knack for money myself. Whatever I invest in, bombs. You know that? I'm a pretty bright guy, and I'm good at certain things. I am not good at certain things as well. I'm not good at languages. I am not good at music. And I'm not good at stock, at finance. I've always wondered why I don't have the gene for finance. I've always been ashamed of that. Some people have the knack for finance. They can do everything they do touches the gold. I'm the opposite. Whatever I invested in lost money. So I stopped investing a long time ago. I just earn money and spend money and give the rest to the government. No, the one thing I'm going to do this year, as I have to repeat it again, is the conservative scholarship for kids. And I don't want to tell you more because you'll think I'm doing it already. I don't have it set up yet. The Conservative Scholarship Awards, what does it mean to be an American? 100 words or less. I'm making it very simple. Because a 100-word essay is harder than a longer essay. People can BS on a 5,000-word essay, but you make them reduce it to 100 words, it has to be sterling and good, poetic. And it's only for kids enrolled in a 2-year college who are accepted to a 4-year college, because I want the poorer kids who had a tough start to get the awards. And I'll tell you much more about it come January, but I'm just warming you up for what I'm going to do. And that's that. So now they're re-releasing the movie Interview. What was the whole thing, a stunt? Is Kim Jong-un mentally ill part of this? What's he getting, a kickback from Sony? I tell you, let's call him up, see if we can work out a game here. Where he threatens to blow the world up, then we pull the movie, then we put it back. You give him 10% a little vig off the top. What is this? Sony announced the release of Interview? I'll never go now. Never. I'm not going to go. I'm not falling for this. Now I really hate these actors. I never liked James Franco to begin with. Seth Rogen was good when he was just a fat, funny guy. Then he took himself seriously. And he wanted to be seen as a leading man. Forget about it. He's no leading man. He's a fat, funny guy. He's like Lou Costello of our time. There's another guy who got too slick, who always played like the never schmuck. Then he got like really slick and got a really bigger agent. I never liked him after that. I don't like fat, ugly guys who suddenly want to be leading men. What are we talking about now? 855-407-282. Dr. Brian in Florida, welcome to the Savage Nation. You want to talk about my cholesterol? Go for it. Give me a diagnosis.
Well, the diagnosis is you've been told the wrong information, as most of America has forever and a day. It's not the steak. It's not the eggs. It's not the chicken. It's not the cheeses. There was a study put out recently that showed that a high sugar diet is the issue. If you take
100% right. Wait, Doc, listen to me. You're preaching to the choir. Remember, I wrote health books for many years based upon some of the leading lights, and the sugar disease in America was, I think, defined best by Dr. Abe Hoffa. Remember him?
Yes.
Okay, go on, because I know you're coming from the same place I'm at. Tell America what you know. It's important.
Well, the bottom line is the real diet that everybody should be on is really a low glycemic diet. In other words, low carb, low starch diet that lowers your cholesterol and increases your good cholesterol. The logic behind it, or the science behind it, is you take a high amount of sugar, your insulin goes up. If your insulin goes up, your inflammation in the body goes up. And what are the building blocks of all cells? Cholesterol. So the cholesterol goes up. You do low sugar, your appetite's not stimulated, you don't gain weight, your inflammation goes down, so the cholesterol goes down and the good cholesterol goes up.
Okay, so are you sort of on the side of the Atkins-style diet?
Problem with Atkins is not Atkins.
Let me tell you, I know the problem. It's a kidney stressor because the body can only detox so much nitrogen at any one time. So I'm not into high meat. I will not eat it.
Because he said satiated, but our understanding of satiated is bring in the whole cow. There's portion control. The size of your beef should be the size of your palm and no more of it, not the whole nine yards, like America.
Okay, so what else should be on the plate? Beef, size of palm. What else should be on the plate?
Green vegetables and just, there's a great book out there called by the Dummy series, The Glycemic Index for Dummies. It explains all this theory. You get in there, you go to the back, you pick everything that's low glycemic. The reason you need to read it a little bit is maybe 10 raspberries is low glycemic. A half a cup puts you into the high glycemic. And there's no quick fix. You have to understand it, you have to measure, and you have to eat the right foods.
How old a man are you, Doc?
I'm 54.
And are you still in good shape?
Yes, I is.
And you don't take any Lipitor or any of the anti-cholesterol drugs?
Those, in my learned opinion, the entire medical establishment is on cookie-cutter medicine, and I really do believe those drugs are dangerous. The majority of doctors do not explain to the patients the side effects. You can get incredible weakness, you can get muscle aches, etc., but the doctor...
I stopped taking them because of that. I couldn't walk after a day of it. I never took them again.
The right test, he would have found out that you were having muscle breakdown, and that, you know...
But how do you explain the fact that my LDL, HDL, VLDL is all upside down and I'm still healthy?
Okay, the answer is with the HDL, it may be just a genetic point, but that is only a small portion of the picture. What that tells me, to me, cholesterol is an inflammatory marker. To me, it only tells me that there's a degree of inflammation going on in your body. It doesn't tell me that you have coronary artery disease or vascular disease in any shape or form. And
okay, so how about this? The one of the big predictors that worries me a lot is the C-reactive protein. Do you deal with that one, CRP?
Yes, I do. But again, there's different versions of that exact test. And if that's elevated, it's just another inflammatory marker. It's not
exactly
very-
exactly 100%. It may not be coronary. It may not be related to the atherosclerosis.
Any direct where the problem is.
Where do you stand on alcohol use and coronary disease?
I think alcohol gets, alcohol in moderation is okay. I think it gets, you know, people like to say, well, it's good for the heart, so it's good for everything. It has a destructive force.
Because of the conversion to sugar, right?
Right, exactly. But again, in moderation is probably beneficial if you're a man. If you're a woman, there's other issues like it increases breast cancer, so according to the research. But I say everything in moderation. And moderation, men are much more able to handle the toxins better than women.
You know my adage, Doc? Everything in moderation, including moderation, because if I don't do some extremist things, I would have been dead a long time ago.
Be nuts.
I'd be nuts. If I was a Mr. Moderate, I would be a straight Republican. That'd be the end of my life.
Exactly. Now,
hold on. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Best part of my day, 3 hours. Enough already. Give them a few, whatever. I love radio so much that it's hard to believe a life without radio. That's the truth of it. That's the absolute truth. It's the greatest medium on earth. There's no life after radio. 21 hours a day, I'm just like a regular person. Impossible. Struggling with reality and struggling with, you know, the ideas of mortality is what I mean. Reality I'm pretty good at. It's the mortality part I haven't mastered. very well. The whole thought of the earth and how beautiful it is and what God created and how great it is and why there's so much suffering and torture on the planet, all of that bothers me all day long. But when I'm on the radio, I don't feel those things. How much time? 40 seconds now is all I have? 39? What is this? I'm going to get a heart attack from the pressure. I can't develop an idea. So then when I go do the show where you can get it on the behind the screen for $1 a year or whatever, we're going to have like a video of me, like an hour a month with no ads, nothing, where I'm just going to be able to expound the wit and wisdom of Michael Savage. I got to have that outlet where it's more of a live, total performance with no interruptions, where I can get into an idea and just expound on it and keep rolling. Nothing. Zero. I'm going to do that next year. You'll see. A lot of good things coming on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Be here or be absolutely in the bookstore buying Stop the Coming Civil War.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE.
If you're local, yokel, what's the difference if it's local or international or national? What's the difference? It's about, you know, whether it's entertaining and relevant. I'm nothing against local hosts. There's a lot of good ones, but the whole movement is local. Everything's local. Locomotive. 855-407. I got a thing on the website right now. It was amazing. I went to the story about heart attacks on Christmas Day, and I always go to the side and find the obscure story. It's from Toronto. A gentleman comes out of his restaurant. He owns a restaurant, a steakhouse, named Barbarian. He's probably Armenian. Maybe 65, white-haired, and a guy tries to mug him. One of the street thugs tries to mug him in the doorway. He beats the crap out of the mugger, kicks him in the street, chases him down the street, and beats him up in the middle of the street. I guess he picked on the wrong old white guy. Yeah, this guy must have been quite a hockey player because he pulled the guy's hoodie over his head and spun him around like the fool that he was. Amazing picture. I mean, you'd never expect this. Wouldn't it be nice if the guy had... Well, he did it with his hands. He didn't need a gun. The mugger got what he deserved. 855-407-282. Let's go to some of the callers on the Savage Nation. Where's the prostate guy? He hung up already? He was going to tell you how good my prostate, my PSA is. Is he there or not? No, he hung up. He was going to give me good news. He was going to say that my PSA is that of a 50-year-old. That's great because I'm 30. My PSA is 2... my PSA is 2.4. On the face of it, that's great, but it's not good because my last report was 1.8. I don't like that rise of 50% in one report. Something stimulating my prostate. I don't like that. I was like, what is he talking about on the radio, his numbers? Because it's interesting. I mean, you're hearing guys like, over the years, you're going to hear me read my lab reports, LDL, HD, all over, and you're going to see slowly the demise of Michael Savage. If that PSA goes over the 4, you're going to have a panic attack. I'm going to leave radio. Yay! Liberals are hoping to God my PSA goes up over 4. It starts getting near 4 and starts to rise. I'm leaving because I'm going to leave the stress behind. It's the only thing I don't want to lose. I could live through brain cancer or heart attack, God forbid, but that, no, forget about it. That's the one thing I don't want to lose. It's true. I mean, guys will live with anything, but you don't want to lose that part of your life, do you? Everyone's afraid of that. Oh, are you kidding? God, please take my arm. Take a toe. Here, go. Take 5 toes, but don't touch that. Leave that alone. Tom on the web in Boston. Welcome to the Savage Nation, Tom. What's on your mind?
Mikhail, how are you? Listen, I know you're going to be in on Friday. I've been looking for a reason to not come in to work Friday, but now I guess I got to come in.
No, I'm on live Friday. Thursday we're doing a best of. You'll hear my voice, no filling, but Friday I'm live.
Oh, God, love you. Last year at this time, you were moving to drive time, and I had called you. You did the show there at the end of the year, you know, where you could say whatever you wanted. I don't know.
Yes, I did. I looked up in my diary. Around this time last year, I did my last live night show, and I was waiting for January 2nd for the day show, the drive time show.
Well, I'm a grandson of an immigrant, and I had called you to mention you had gone to the Super Bowl with your son.
Yes.
I thought it was very touching that, you know, you wanted to leave good memories of your son. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I want him to remember something good about me, right. So I went to a ball game with him.
Which leads me to your dad. You keep talking about your father, and I got to tell you, I raised my son the same way. I'm only 47, the same way your dad raised you.
What, you pushed him upriver in a tube, making him think he'd fall over a waterfall?
The same kind of way. you know, and he's turned out fine. He's
no, I look. There's a way to raise a son to be strong and to be tough without making without. There's a fine line in doing that without hurting the child, if you know what I'm saying.
That guy did you a favor, and you know it.
Well, I know that because maybe he saw something in me he didn't like, and he wanted to toughen me up. I get it.
I think he saw something in you he loved, and he took the time, Michael.
No, that's interesting. I almost dropped the microphone and got on my knees and cried.
Come on.
That's a beautiful way to look at it. Are you Irish?
Half Irish, half Italian.
I could have guessed Italian or Irish. So you came from a very similar upbringing. And you, what you just said, no one ever said to me in my entire life on earth. Do you know that?
Listen, come on.
In other words, that kind of tough mentoring was not bullying.
Well, yeah,
right?
You have for him over the radio, too, you know.
I'm sorry, say that again.
We all hear the love you have for that man over the radio, too. And, you know,
of course I have love for him. Well, of course, I never said I didn't love him, but I'm saying it was pretty rough being a kid with a father who was always pushing you to do better and be harder and be tougher.
Well, look at the world we live in right now. Look at all the stuff you talk about on the radio.
Well, of course, had he not made me who I am, I wouldn't be on the radio. There's no way about it. My life had come to a crashing halt several times. If I was not taught to fight and to strive, I would have been finished. I've come back from the commercial dead many times.
Hey, will you do your listeners a break this holiday and give yourself a break, guy?
No, well, I don't want to be off. I'm much better off on the radio. I enjoy it more than being off the air. I swear to God.
I just mean the time you're going to spend with your family and stuff. I mean, you started off.
Yeah, but they're all somewhere else. I just had a family weekend in L.A. I mean, I had the 3 days of it already, like pre-holiday. In other words, I don't have to do it on a specific day. You know, I got one child living up in the mountains, another child living south in the Southland, and, you know, you can't be with everyone in the same day. They have their own life.
Well, God bless you, my friend, and let's...
Hey, Tom, I love when you call. It should be more than once a year. Let me send you Stop the Coming Civil War. Show it around the bars of Boston. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. We're just doing a kind of discursive program today, and I'm enjoying it. So if you want, we'll do a little sound. The guys worked so hard getting together all the sound bites. We played de Blasio, the maniac, attacking the press for saying he's telling them that they're divisive. You hear this? After he went off on the police for month after month, 4 months in a row, now he's telling everyone to stop protesting until after the funerals of the cops. You hear this? Does he mean the cops shouldn't protest or his buddies who caused the death of the cops? Which one does he mean? Listen to clip 7 now.
I'm asking everyone, and this is across the spectrum, to put aside protests, put aside demonstrations.
Right. Oh, sure.
Until these funerals are passed, let's focus just on these families and what they have lost.
Ah, come on.
I think that's the right way to try and build towards a more unified and decent city.
Yeah, you and Karl Marx, a unified city, right? You'll have a unified city when you drive everyone out who makes a living. Then you'll have a bunch of serfs that you could boss around. WABC Rudy, thanks for calling. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm a police officer. I work in Brooklyn. I've sat on that post where those cops were murdered. And I just want to say... it's an act of terrorism, an act of war, and thank you for dispelling the lone wolf myth.
Well, I'm the only one in the radio media who yesterday reported that he was a Muslim. His name was Ishmael. He had connections to the mosque that was filled with violence. What is it? I'm the only one doing a job? Where is everybody else on that?
Only referred to him as Brinsley on the news.
He wasn't Brinsley. It was two Muslim names.
Yeah, they only call him by his last Anglo name.
Yeah, well, it's coming out a little by little. They're letting it seep out that the man was not a lone wolf. He was acting out jihad the same way the Muslim fanatics are driving into crowds in France right now. And immediately they say it's got nothing to do with religion.
There's no such thing as lone wolf. It's a myth.
I know that. I say it all the time, Rudy.
No one's saying it, though. And thank you.
Well, I have a job to do. If I take it on easy, like a day like today, it doesn't mean that I can't sting like a bee on days like yesterday.
And I might have to put a prefix to your new book. It will be Impossible 2.
No, I'm sorry, say that again, I missed that.
The prefix to your new book might have to be, it will be Impossible 2. Stop.
Oh! You know, it's a funny statement you just made, because when I was just about to launch the book, Stop the Coming Civil War, I was in touch with someone in the media who wanted to do a book review. So he said, could you take the first word off the title.
Right.
Because he said maybe it's time we had one to save the nation. That's what he said to me. Many people believe that. That the only thing that could save us is go to the mats already because we've had enough of this.
There's a lot of great people listening to you, Dr. Savage. I'm one of them, and I have a lot of people that listen to you as well. You're great.
Well, God bless the NYPD and all the police departments who have stood up to this little mini Mussolini in the White House with his henchmen, with Goebbels over there in the Justice Department. And I thank you very much, Rudy. I'm sending you a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. I have not yet written the sequel. That's very funny. That caught me off guard. Thanks for getting his number. That brings us to 44 minutes after the hour in the Savage Nation. KSFO, Paul, welcome to the program from San Francisco. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Michael, or good afternoon.
Top of the day. Top of the day to you. What's on your mind?
Okay. I had a comment about the elevated death rates, heart attacks and things like that on Christmas and New Year's and things like that. One of the factors, on top of all the food and the drinking and all that, is people are less likely to follow up with their health care providers. So people that are kind of on the edge of an episode like that, it's more likely to happen, during the holiday times.
That's very interesting. So there's a multifactorial reason there's a number of heart attacks increase, the number of heart attacks increase on Christmas Day. But it could also be there's less access to doctors, too.
Absolutely. Doctors are on vacation. Pharmacy hours might be, shortened or something like that. So, people are away from home, away from their doctors. They're traveling. So
you have to be in a room with a Christmas tree, smelling the pine with your brother-in-law. That would be a tough one, too.
Absolutely.
Okay, my friend, copy of Stop the Coming Civil War for your stocking. It's a stocking stuffer. KCMO, Gary, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Michael, I was listening to a couple of callers just before, and he was talking about your upbringing and his upbringing. And I was brought up by a mother who I think would have made a great DI in the Marine Corps, and I think that because I was in the Marine Corps.
Oh, so you feel she did a good job?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, what's interesting about that, that's an interesting call because we've got the Chinese lady writing a book about tiger moms, and she was ripped apart by the liberal, nanny state types who said, what do you mean you push your children? Well, look how well the Chinese kids do in America because the mothers push them harder and harder. They get a 98. The mother says, what happened to the other 2 points?
Yeah, and that's always been interesting. And my grandmother was, of course, my grandmother and grandfather went through the Depression. My mother and father went through the Depression, had 2 children during the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was taught very well. And
your mom was tough on you, and you went into the Marines, and you're a tough guy and a straight guy, and as a result of your mother, you're saying.
Yes, because
good.
I joined.
Good. God bless your mother. She did you a favor, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Because that's what the caller was saying to me is like, don't lament that your father, try to toughen you up. He knew the world you were going to be growing up into, right?
Yeah, because I went through aerial drills here in Kansas, but during the Second World War, but. You always sat home, you did these things, you walked to school, you went to downtown, but you were pushed all the time by your mother and father and your grandparents.
Well, that was the American way in those days. You talk about what was the American way. It was pushing the children to achieve more. It was not telling them, you don't feel good, stay home, we'll get you a tutor. No one did that. The schools didn't accommodate all of the crybabies in those days.
Absolutely not, because
you wet your pants. You had to go home and change your pants. They didn't give you a psychologist and special treatment with a box of Kleenex.
Well,
Gary, a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War goes out to you. That brings us up to a break where you listen to my great advertisers and buy their wonderful products. And when I come back, I give you all of the breaking news right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Never. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Here's the breaking news as we close hour number three from the Drudge Report. And the news is amazing. It's good and it's bad. It's the best of times, the worst of times. Dow is up 18,000. 18,000? A Dow of 18,000? I don't have a nickel in the market. GDP best in decade. It means nothing to me. Holiday travel mess. Lengthy delays on Christmas Eve. Good, I'm not flying anywhere. Hundreds of flights canceled. Glad I decided not to go to Florida. And I hear there's a heat wave there. I was going to go to Florida, and then I decided not to for whatever the reason. The thing is, I hate the heat. I was going for warm. I didn't want to go for hot. Right now, it's like 68, 69 here. We had rain here in the Bay Area of San Francisco. It's gorgeous. The sun is out. It's like, I love this weather. It's cold at night. You need three blankets. Yet during the day, it's hot. It's a beautiful Mediterranean climate. It's a shame that we have Governor Brown as the governor and communism reigning through the entire political structure. But they didn't create the mountains nor the sea. They just suck dry those of us who earn a living. Russia and four ex-Soviet nations finalized new alliance. See, this is what Obama did, the surfer. You hear what he's just done? Russia and four other ex-Soviet nations on Tuesday completed the creation of a new economic alliance intended to bolster their integration. Interesting. Yeah, it's a small group. Russia, Belarus? What do they make? Bialystok? What do they make in Belarus? These are like small nations. Kazakhstan? They make like fur boots. Armenia? They make like chocolate. And they make like chocolate chip. Kyrgyzstan? He's trying to show the West that he could get away without him. He can't. They're like too small. They have nothing in these countries. What does Belarus have? So I'm not knocking Belarusians or Kazakhstanis or Armenians or Kyrgyzstanis. But it's like fun. It's like, does it make any sense? They're going to coordinate trade between Russia and Kazakhstan? All right, bring me the yak puke. I will trade you the Ukrainian women for the yak puke in the basket. What's Russia going to get out of Armenia? What does Armenia make? I guess there's oil in Armenia. I don't really know what they have there. Halava? Kyrgyz. I'm not knowledgeable about these states. Kyrgyzstan. I know in the media you're supposed to make believe you know how to pronounce these names, like they rehearse it back in the green room. Oh, yeah, we now report live from Qatar. No one knew how to say that for 12 years. 4 years it was Qatar, 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 Qatar. Can't they change the name of the country to oil-rich pig nation in the Middle East that doesn't deserve to be on the map because just an alliance of rip-off Arabs? And make that into an acronym. Kyrgyzstan. 10 seconds now to close the show. I'll have a stroke here. All right, thanks for listening. It's been fun. I've had a great time. Memories of the good old days that never were. And that's the end of the day. And God bless America.
Savage.